Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. We are so happy to have you here with us today. This is Paula Shaw, and I am riding solo today. My co-host, Kendi Foster, is off in Canada, actually competing in an international sports, what do we call it, a sports, darn it, I don't know the right word, but it's second to the Olympics. It's international athletes all competing in different events, and Ken is competing in the triathlon, so we're very excited to find out how he does. Today with me is, well, I have two guests. You'll be meeting Kate Allgood a little bit later, and she is the author of Fortitude, The Essential Guide to Building and Sustaining Mental Toughness. And we're looking forward to that because she's actually a very beautiful, feminine-looking woman. So I want to find out how she gets tough. But first, we're going to begin with a very inspiring man, David McNally, who for over 40 years has inspired millions of people from the stage, on film, and in his best-selling books. He's a member of the Speakers Hall of Fame, and he is described by a leading speakers bureau as one of the world's top 50 business speakers. He is an amazing man, and I think I'm even more impacted, not so much by what he has done, but what he says and who he is. His book, Mark of an Eagle, How Your Life Changes the World, is just plain inspiring. David, I actually want to order about a case of these and give them, starting with my children, to many people that I know. So welcome, David. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Paula. It's an honor to be invited on the show and to be associated with Kate and her work. So however we can serve your audience, let's do it.
All right. Well, you know, I was really inspired by something I read in the book that you were, you say it as though that this eagle, this character, is saying it, but let me read these words and tell me about this. He would teach the young to be bold and confident. He would help them to soar above their limitations. He would push them into a new world of possibility. And when they were ready, he would give them the key to unlocking their dreams. It is your spirit, not your speed, that leads you to be strong and free. That would be his mark on the world. You talk about all of us making a mark on the world, David, but reading those words, it felt almost like you were describing what you're doing in this book. Was there any intent of that, or did I just imagine that?
No, I think you got it. You hit the bullseye there, Paula. That was the intention behind writing this book. The genesis of it was simply the fact that several years ago, like many people, I got cancer. And I went through a really big struggle with that. But I was very fortunate to survive it. And a couple of years ago, my wife said to me, David, I think you have a new book in you. Well, I'd written several books, and I knew what it took to write a book.
Yes, thought, me oh, too. It's not a simple undertaking, is it?
Right. It is not. I always joke with people who come up to me and say, oh, my goodness, you've written a book. And I said, yes. And they say, one day I'm going to write a book myself. And I always say to them, well, remember, it's going to take you more than one day. And that's exactly what happens. People begin books and then they get halfway through or quarter way through, but they don't have, as Kate would say, the fortitude to finish it.
Exactly.
And that's so important. So So I needed the inspiration. And, Paul, I don't mind mentioning it, but last week I reached that grand age of 71. I realized a couple of years ago that, well, now I have grandchildren. Maybe that's my motivation. And I thought, what would I like my grandchildren to know about their grandfather and what their grandfather believes in success and what's important in life? And that was my inspiration. And what I realized, however, that no matter who we are, the 7 billion people that currently exist on this planet, every one of us leaves a mark. We leave a mark through our relationships. We leave a mark with our work colleagues. We might leave a mark with our friends. And I know that as people get older and they look back on their lives, they may not say, I want to leave a mark. But what they do say is, I want to believe that my life mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And it does matter. And if we can become conscious of how important each of us is and how important it is to contribute as much as we can to the world in the best way that we can, we will leave a mark. Because leaving a mark is not an intention you actually set. It's a result. It's a result of the fact that you have lived a full and meaningful life and have expressed in the best possible way your gifts and talents. And so that was the motivation, and the symbol, of course, of my books is the eagle. So what you selected was a beautiful selection.
And I love that symbol because it does, I think, speak to most of us about soaring above what is. And one of the points I loved most, David, and by the way, I had a lovely day at the beach reading your book, and it was quite inspiring sitting by the ocean and reading these beautiful things that you spoke about. But I think one of the points that meant most to me was the idea that everybody leaves a mark on the planet, you know, that everybody's life matters. Because I think so many people think if they're not Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or, you know, some famous movie star, that they haven't really left a mark on the planet. And I love the examples you gave and the things that you say about each person mattering. You know, it feels like it makes you want to get up and be a better person that day when you think of yourself that way.
Well, there's no question about what you're saying. And if you look at it, in fact, in every interaction we have with other human beings, I, as you know, in the book, I refer to the fact that my wife, I'm now married again, but my wife, who passed away in 2003, was a woman that was the mother of our 5 children. Was a mother that made her purpose in life was to bring up our children, and that was what she wanted her life to be about. And she was an extraordinary mother, and she was also a fabulous friend to people. Mm-hmm. And I never really understood the mark that she left on people until two things. Number one, a friend came up to me at the funeral and said, you know, David, I never left Joe, her name was Josephine Joe, without feeling better after our conversation.
I was just showing Kate, that was the line in your book that I had highlighted. I'm so glad you shared that.
Yes, no, very, very powerful. And then my children's friends came up to me and they said, you know, Mr. McNally, we always love coming to your home. And they said, you know, sometimes you wouldn't have known this, but we had challenges in our own home. But we would come to be at your place after school, and Joe would always make a cup of tea because Joe was an Australian like I am. Mm-hmm. And she would make scones and creams, and she would just make us feel so special. They said we felt like we were having tea with the Queen of England. Which was fascinating because my wife was from a blue-collar family, but that was the way she was. So she had influenced and left a very, very powerful mark on people. So you're right. We don't have to be Oprah. We don't have to be Bono. And I adore those people, so I'm not putting that down in any way. We just have to live our own lives in the fullest way we can.
Yeah, and that is so important, I think. I mean, you know, and I love that you and Kate are on the same day today, because she's working with people in that same endeavor. But I think, you know, so often, David, people, because of life circumstances, seem to reach a place of discouragement or hopelessness. What would you say to people who feel like, I can't make a mark? You know, it doesn't even matter that I'm here.
Well, I think what's really critical is that we have to take a look at that particular question. Why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
What is the sense of purpose that I feel? And what do I feel a sense of responsibility in terms of contributing to the world? And one of the fundamental principles that I see that life revolves around is, Paula, the principle of contribution. You know, our success, our rewards, our fulfillment comes from how we look at how we can contribute to others. People often have a false notion of success and identify with only image. I, again, am not suggesting. I live in a nice home, for example. I drive a nice car. I have no issue with any forms of a material success. I think it's a wonderful thing to be financially independent. I have all of that. But I also know that that alone will not provide you with the feelings that each of us wants to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And we live life on a feeling level. And if you're not having positive feelings or good feelings about your life 4 days out of seven, there's some things you need to check out, at least 4 days out of seven. But one of the ways to feel good about life is to start to contribute mm-hmm. in the best way you can to life. And that can be to your family, mm-hmm. That can be to your friends, and especially to your work environment.
Yes.
We work in our business helping organizations, you know, develop their leaders, develop teams, and develop people. And that's the principle of contribution is fundamental to everything that we teach, because we say to people, look, you were not hired because a company wanted to give you a job. You were hired because it was felt you could contribute to your organization's success.
I love this idea, David, and I would love to pursue that a little bit more with you in our next segment. We need to take a quick break. But I look forward to talking about this idea of contributing in just a moment. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw. I'm riding solo today because my co-host, Ken D. Foster, is off competing in an international Olympic competition. We hope to tell you next week that he's a champion, so we'll see. We were just talking in our last segment with David McNally, author of Mark of an Eagle, How Your Life Changes the World. And David is a pretty amazing man. He's written several other books, Even Eagles Need a Push and The Eagle's Secret. And he has many other forms of work that he has done. He's a top-level National Speakers Bureau speaker, one of the top 50 speakers in the country. And he also does videos or movies. You'll have to tell us a little bit about that, David. But in our last segment, we were talking about this idea of the principle of contribution. Oh, and by the way, before I let you say any more about that, David, I wanted to tell our listeners that your books are all available on Amazon, and that if they want to learn more about you, and I'm sure they will, they can do that at David, D-A-V-I-D, McNally.com. That's DavidMcNally.com. Welcome back, David. So this principle of contribution, I really love. I mean, I kind of wish children were learning that from grade school up. I think all humans need to be a little bit more concerned with giving rather than getting. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no question about that. In fact, one of the endorsers of Mark of an Eagle just said, I wish I read this book when I was in college, and said, I believe all college grads should start reading this book immediately.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And when I speak at colleges the students ask me, how can I get a good job? One of the things I always respond by saying is, remember, no one wants to give you a job. No one wants to give you a job, but there are companies out there who would love to find people who are willing to commit themselves to contributing to the company's success. That's what they need to be doing. Where is there a company that I can align with and contribute my gifts and talents in the best way that I can?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have two beneficiaries. The company benefits, obviously, from that individual's commitment. But then the individual benefits, because if you're looking for one of the keys to happiness and joy in life, mm-hmm. it's being involved in something you believe in and contributing your gifts and talents to that.
Yes.
So the contribution factor is very, very obvious in everything, because even, Paula, if we look at our relationships, if we look at the great relationships in our lives, whatever that might be, and I had the good fortune last year, you don't know this, but I'm a newlywed, Paula. I'm 71 and a newlywed.
Congratulations. That's so exciting. Oh, that gives us all hope, David.
Yeah. And I am thrilled to have found a wonderful woman. And one of the things that we discuss is that in great relationships, it's not 50-50, because who measures the 50? It's 100%, 100%. I am 100% committed to what you want for your life. You know, the goals, the joys, the things, your dreams that you still want to fulfill. And mm-hmm. you are to me. And when we are that way, when we are committed in that way to contributing to each other, then the result of that is love. It's that you love expands when you have that level of contribution. And it's the same in companies. If you look at the most successful companies in the world, that it's not just about having great products. It's the fact that they are customer focused.
Mm-hmm.
That they're always looking, how can we improve our contribution by delivering great products and great service to our customers? If you look at companies who don't succeed, you'll find that they don't contribute. They've forgotten the customer. They're focused just on the profits, but not on the customer.
And I think there's one other little piece of that the great companies seem to also be focused on their employees and giving them a good experience.
They absolutely, you know, employees first. Don't ask the employee to treat the customer well if you're not treating the employee
Amen.
Well.
Amen. Yes.
Exactly. Our mantra in our company is purposeful leaders build inspired organizations and iconic brands.
Oh, beautiful. Transform
Corporation. That's the name of the company I'm the CEO of.
And that corporation, my words are not coming easily today. In that role, you are going out and doing trainings with big corporations, right? And helping them kind of reshape the way they're doing things?
Well, that's exactly the work that we do. We always start off, Paula, with having companies understand that the primary value of your company is contained in the strength of its brand. Brands are not logos and images. Brands are relationships.
Yes.
And what a strong brand means is that you have a great relationship with your customers. They are very loyal to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the loyalty means they come back and they come back. And if you can help them come back time and time again, then you're going to have a very strong brand. But that doesn't happen unless the leaders, the employees, and everyone involved knows that their number one focus has to be the customer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And
again, all about contribution.
And you come from that place, that position of contribution, when you're doing these trainings with some pretty large companies, I understand. Who are the companies that you're working with?
Well, we work with Delta Airlines. We're just starting to begin our first little bit of work with Disney. We have other companies we've worked with, Thrivent Financial, which is a company up here in Minneapolis, where I live. But I've worked with companies, all over the world. So, but the principle is the same. We start with the same principle, and that is that if you understand the principle of contribution, that if you're a leader, that your purpose as a leader is to empower your employees, to coach your employees, to help your employees succeed. If you understand that, then everything flows from there.
And I love that analogy, and I can see from what you've shared today, it does reach into every part of life. You know, when you were talking about your relationship with your wife and this idea of giving 100%, you know, I have long believed that when you can't give too much, because the more you give, the better the other person feels and the more inspired they are to give. So I just love this perspective that you're coming from. And I personally had not thought of it before in terms of a company setting, but I get it, what you're saying, if that's actually happening in the company. And one of the companies we're working with that was on the show last week, they have this exact attitude. And I know several of the employees that work for them, and some of them have increased their commute by an hour to have to drive to the office, and they don't mind because they love being in that setting and they love the support and the kind of camaraderie that they're getting.
Paula, people are longing to find something or a place to commit themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not commit ourselves to that which we do not believe in. And so when a company or an organization gives you something to believe in, a culture, a rich culture that is built around doing good work, providing great service. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. You talk about giving. Well, it's the givers who get.
Mm-hmm.
You get rewarded by providing service.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the people who you have the deepest relationship with, and it's because they have you have given a lot to them, and they have given a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it you can't get away from it. You cannot get away from that.
And David, I know that you're sharing your message also as a public speaker. So do you do that all over the country and all over the world? And what are the kinds of things that you talk about when you're speaking?
Well, there are several topics I address. Of course, Mark of an Eagle, based on my new book, How Your Life Changes the World, is becoming a very popular topic because of what I just mentioned earlier, that people are just longing to find something to commit to so that they can leave a mark. I also have a book that is a highly successful book called Be Your Own Brand. And Be Your Own Brand is actually used by a lot of the business schools around the country because it helps people understand the importance of developing a strong personal brand if they are to succeed in life, because so much of success is built on relationships.
Oh, yes. Right?
Built on relationships. And what we do in that and with that topic is to understand that it's not enough to have great intentions. What's important is people decide who we are and how they interact with us out of our actions. So it's a process for really trying to understand how our actions impact others and analyzing those actions so that we can be perceived in an authentic way. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important. We don't want to be someone we're not. But right. authentically, you know, how do we have the highest standards that we can have so people see us in that particular way. So there's some of the areas that I deal with, and I also deal with Even Eagles Need a Push, which is the five qualities of confident, empowered people. So there's a range of the topics that I'm asked to speak at conferences.
Oh, David, I just feel so blessed that you were here with us today and that you have shared what you shared. And I want to remind our listeners that you can learn more about David, his speaking, and his books at davidmcnally.com. And that's DavidMcNally.com. And all of his books are available on Amazon. And David, I have a quote here from you that I would love to read at the ending of this interview because I think it's so beautiful. And it is something that you said. The quote is, "Your mark, your contribution matters. Use this knowledge as your compelling reason to get up in the morning, to face the challenges of this world, and create the life you want." Thank you so much, David, for your guidance and your wisdom and all that you contributed to us today. You certainly made a mark on Transition Radio.
Thank you, Paula. It's been a pleasure to meet both you and Kate. If anything, just over the phone, but it's been marvelous.
Thank you, and for us as well. And we'll be right back with Kate Allgood.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. We are so happy to have you with us and in studio with me today. I am, by the way, riding solo for any of you who just joined the show because Ken D. Foster, my co-host, is at an Olympic competition. Well, not Olympic, but athletic competition. Second only to the Olympics in Penticton, Canada.
Oh, Penticton, beautiful place.
Oh, you've been there, huh, Kate?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited to see the pictures and to see how he does. So in studio with me now is the author of Fortitude, the essential guide to building and sustaining mental toughness. Now, you wouldn't know to look at her that she was a mental toughness expert because she's beautiful and very feminine looking, but her name is Kate Allgood, and she is the founder and sport performance psychology coach of Quantum Performance Incorporated, a high-performance coaching firm specializing in the mental training of athletes, both youth and elite level alike. In fact, I heard her saying she's coached people all over the world.
Yes, I have.
So that's very exciting. She's recognized, a recognized elder in the field of sports psychology. Hard to believe because she looks very young. And human performance, and is a sought-after speaker, author, and coach. And we are lucky enough to have her right here in studio today. Hi, Kate.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am so excited. So you have been my guest before with
I
your
have.
Last book, and the title of that one was?
Get Into the Zone, The Essential Guide to High Performance Through Mental Training.
Right. Okay, so now we went from mental training to mental toughness?
Yes.
So tell me, what's the difference there? What's the transition from training to toughness?
Well, it really is I won't say the same thing, but my first book was an introduction into the world of mental training and really looking at what are the concepts and some easy things people can start to implement, such as active awareness, imagery. And then this book really is building off of the last book and taking some of those concepts a little bit deeper.
Ah.
So we're looking at things like confidence, focus, refocus, motivation, to name a few that I list in my current book, Fortitude, that I started to see was, I saw a lot with my clients that I was working with. These topics were coming up quite a bit. And I began to research, okay, why are these topics coming up? And they really are the pieces that when you bring them together create mental toughness. And mental toughness is a word that was coined in the world of athletics, and it's kind of thrown around a lot. You know, most people out there have probably heard someone tell them you need to be more mentally tough, or they've told themselves,
yes,
I need to be more mentally tough.
Not only in sports, but in all of life, especially
boys.
Right?
Exactly. So, but what does that really mean? If someone just comes up to you and says you need to be more mentally tough, it's
right,
like, well, what do I do with that?
Exactly.
So I was like, well, we need to start looking at what is that and how do you then build it? And so these are what I consider the building blocks of mental toughness. And so if you look at each concept like motivation or confidence and you build that and work on that and train that aspect, when you kind of fit all the pieces together, you can have that mental toughness that you might need for a situation.
So what's the backstory, Kate? Were you an athlete yourself?
I was. So I was an Olympic level athlete. I was born and raised in Canada.
Oh,
and
you too.
Yes.
Oh, so you know why Penticton?
Penticton, right?
Penticton, yes.
I know exactly
so you've been
where Penticton is and where I've been there. And so I was born in Toronto, and I grew up playing all the sports I could get my hands on, but ice hockey was the one that I was most competitive in, and I took the furthest, and I went to college with it, got a scholarship, played a couple years professionally, and was on the short track for the 2010 Olympics before I decided it was the next step for my life and my career, the transition, and moved on and started to get the education I need to start doing the work that I'm currently doing. So I was a very high-end athlete, and so I understand the mental challenges that come along with being a very high-end athlete.
And I imagine the pressure, huh?
And the pressure, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So of all the different areas of this mental toughness that you train people, what do you think are the most important ones?
Number one is confidence. It's the one that impacts everything else. It's like that pebble in the pond, and it creates that ripple effect. Because without confidence, you're not going to have the motivation. You're not going to be able to sit there and get up each morning and do the work that you need to do. If you're not confident, your self-doubt, your negative mind is going to distract you, so you're not going to be as focused as you need to be, and you're not going to be able to refocus when you get distracted. So confidence is definitely the first step and the first skill that anybody really needs to look at. And it's also, of course, the hardest one.
Right.
It's the most important, but it is the hardest one. And then I think the second biggest one is refocus. That's something that in this day and age, especially with the young athletes that I work with, because of technology, they get distracted so easily, and they really have a difficult time refocusing. And that's huge. I mean, we all are going to lose our focus. It's very hard to maintain a focus at a high level. But when you do lose your focus, how can you bring it back to what you should be focusing on in that moment? And that's a skill set that has to be taught and learned and perfected. And a lot of the time, technology is making it very, very difficult for this young generation right now.
Oh, boy, is that the truth.
Yep.
I think that if they don't have a screen in front of them, they don't have any idea how to focus on anything.
Exactly. But
one of the things that always impressed me, I was a big ice skating fan when I was growing up, and it was always part of our family fun to watch the Olympic skaters. And even in the other competitions, I just loved watching ice skating. But I was always so impressed when somebody fell, because falling on your butt when you're in the middle of this beautiful performance has got to be so humiliating. Mm-hmm. And yet they would get back up, get into the routine as though it had not happened. Now, is that being able to just refocus like you're talking about?
Yeah, that's being able to refocus to move through that obstacle, that adversity, and just to keep moving forward towards your goal, to stay motivated, to stay mm-hmm. confident. And that really is sometimes very hard when you do get knocked down. In that case, literally, they're getting, you know, falling down.
Yeah.
But even metaphorically, if you're getting knocked down, you need to be able to stand back up, to refocus, because it's the reality of our world. Things are going to not always yes. work out the way that you would like them to, and you need to really be able to mm-hmm. refocus on your goal, move around the obstacle, and keep moving forward. That is how successful people become successful, mm-hmm. is that they are able to refocus when they are either physically or metaphorically knocked down.
So how do you train that into somebody? I mean, are there like exercises they do or processes they walk through, or how do you do it, Kate?
Yeah, it's very, for each client, it can be very specific, but mm-hmm. in general, and that's what I go into my book, I give some great examples of things that they can start to do. And it really is a lifestyle. Like, people don't understand that you have to create a way of being each and every day to have that mental toughness you need in those key moments that you're looking for. A lot of the time people mm-hmm. are hoping that in that, you know, really key moment, whether it's out there in the competition field or maybe in the boardroom, that, you know, all of a sudden magically the skills that they need will come to them, when it really is yeah. each day in, day out, you have to build and you have to train yourself to have confidence, because confidence is going to get knocked out of you each and every day, mm-hmm. whether it's social media or someone else telling you something. Every day there are messages that are sent to us that are saying, you know, you can chip away at your confidence.
Exactly. You're not enough. Mm-hmm. Right?
So one big thing with confidence, and I got this off of a TED Talk from a woman named Amy Cuddy, and it's all about body posture. And that's one of the first things when I'm working with someone on confidence, because really to build the internal confidence, which comes from belief and trust in themselves, uh-huh. it takes time. It takes time to build that belief and build that trust. But right away, someone can start to monitor and to look at how their body posture is impacting their confidence.
Talk a little bit about that specifically. Yeah. What do you mean?
So when we hold ourselves in a more confident pose, which is, you know, head high, shoulders back, kind mm-hmm. of what they call the superhero pose.
Okay.
Our cortisol levels go down.
I'm moving my shoulders back as we speak. I'm sitting up a little taller.
Our cortisol levels in our bodies go down and our testosterone goes up.
Wow.
And so that means our stress levels go down and our testosterone, which is our dominance hormone, kind of associated mm-hmm. with confidence, goes up. So we're going to start to feel more confidence. And as we feel more confidence, it's easier to then start thinking more confidently.
Right.
And so our body and our mind are very connected. And when our physical body starts to act in confident ways, our mind kind of goes, oh, maybe we should start thinking confidently as well. But if we're now, you know, if we start slouching or we start to kind of close off the body, the opposite mm-hmm. happens, where your cortisol levels go up, which your stress goes up, and your testosterone goes down.
Wow.
So then you start to feel less confident. So if something happens and you're maybe starting to doubt yourself, watch your body posture and really emphasize standing with confidence, because it's going to help to kind of battle that inner
counterbalance
voice.
It sort of. That's mm-hmm. very cool to know. So the body can actually change the mind and the feelings.
Exactly. Because if you think about it, when you can see in someone when they start not feeling confident, their whole body posture just changes.
Yes.
And so it can go the opposite way, where if you change your body posture, the mind will follow suit, just as the other way around.
What a great tip for our listeners. And, you know, one of the things I'm getting from what you're saying, Kate, is sports, we think of as sports as one area of life, but the truth is everything you do in sports translates into life.
Absolutely.
I mean, all of life, right? Mm-hmm.
It really does. And the biggest thing, that's why I work with people who are not just athletes. I've worked with people in the military as well as business, because people love that mentality that athletes have and that they need. Nothing that you will really face in life will be as intense emotionally or time sensitive as you're going to find in athletics. And it's a great skill to be able to take into the rest of your life. And that's why I get a lot of young athletes and their parents are looking for help, not just in their athletic endeavor, but really for that kid for life and life skills and, you know, whatever they're going to do beyond athletics. Because at some point, whether you become a professional or not, you're going to walk away. Yep. You're going to go on to that next stage of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And those skills that you can develop in athletics or learn from athletes, and I get a lot of clients who come in and said, well, I was kind of researching, and I thought, well, what do athletes do? And that's kind of what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they find me. So it very much can transition to anything in life, even just day-to-day life. Those skill sets apply.
That makes such great sense. In fact, last week we had a guest on who's helping. He's a partner in a company now, a very successful company. And he said the most important lessons he learned were the year he was the captain of a state championship football team.
There you go. Exactly.
And I think that's so true. I think that's why I always was grateful my children were involved in sports. I think we learn important lessons about cooperation, teamwork. I love what you're saying about confidence. And I love this tip about, like, change how your body is standing and how you're holding yourself, and you can actually change the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this book, Fortitude, The Essential Guide to Building and Sustaining Mental Toughness, even though Kate specializes in working with athletes, this is a book about life.
It really is.
And I love the tie-in with our former guest because, really, you're helping people to make that mark.
I am.
That we all are going to make in one way or another. But if we want to make a big mark, then I think we need to be able to incorporate this mental toughness that you're talking about, Kate. And I love it that this book, Fortitude, is available to help people figure out how to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As I think David was mentioning, right, looking at the definition of success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big thing when I look at people because people look at results or maybe the materialistic thing, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's great to have those things. But you really have to look deeper, and you have to look on a day-to-day basis and what is your mark. And it doesn't have to be as big as Steve Jobs. It can
That's
be
right.
in a smaller form. But it doesn't mean you're not having purpose in your life. And those athletes that I work with who find a purpose and find a belief, they really thrive because they're enjoying what they're doing and
mm-hmm.
enjoying the path that they're on.
And if people want to find you, Kate, how do they do that?
Yeah, they can find me on my website, which is QP Athlete.
Q, as in the letter Q.
Letter Q.
Letter P as in Paul.
Yep.
So Queen Paul.
Queen Paul. And QP, then athlete.
Athlete.com. Okay.
Or you can reach out to me at 619-446-6846. That is the office number.
Beautiful. The book is Fortitude, and the author is Kate Allgood, quite an amazing woman. Thank you so much for being with me today, Kate.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And we'll be right back with our Smart Money segment.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, brought to you by the Sexton Advisory Group. And with us in this segment is Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group. But before we talk to Steve, I just wanted to mention that both Kate Allgood and David McNally's books are available at Amazon, but David asked that we also urge you strongly to check your local bookstores and try to support your local bookstores. So I wanted to honor that promise to him. Now for our Smart Money segment, we have Steve Sexton, who those of you who've heard our show before know. We love Steve. He has a financial advisory group, but Steve is the financial advisory group with a heart because he's really an amazing human being. And in fact, today, Steve, as I mentioned to you, our show has been very much about making a mark in the world as human beings, you know, and how the things we do impact that mark. So we either leave a big mark or one that we really want to leave, or maybe we're leaving one that we don't feel quite so good about. But I know that you and I spoke, and you very graciously agreed to talk about something that happened to you that I know caused a huge transition and maybe changed the mark that you're leaving in the world and what you try to do for your clients now. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. It's actually 11 years ago in a week.
Oh, wow.
That I found out that I had colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And a tumor had clogged up my colon, and it had been clogged up for 2 weeks. So when I got to Scripps after a bunch of bad doctors, I had to go in for an emergency surgery. Wow. I had a wonderful doctor who didn't put me in ICU, but put me into the regular floor, but had nurses kind of like around the clock for the first couple for the first 4 or 5 hours, because I was septic and in shock, and they had to take out 20 or 13 liters of fluid. And then they had to fill my, you know, both of my veins were filled with IV fluid to get my kidneys jump started again.
Oh my gosh. And when probably were very close to death.
It was pretty close. When my wife came in, she said I looked like the Michelin man. Could have been a Sharpay. But they were trying to get things going. And you know what? I had a great surgeon, great medical team, and I was able to obviously live and all that. Spent a week in the hospital. One of the biggest things that you find out when you start trolling the hospital wing, because they told me if I walked, I would heal faster. So it started with a couple times a day and then about 20, and then they realized it was a marathon. It was a bad call. the big thing is you start talking to people. Going through 6 months worth of chemo is not fun, but you talk to people. And you listen to people who are going through chemo or some other therapy just so they can have some extra time.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're saying, you know what? I really wish that I'd done this, this, and this. Or all of a sudden they find out that they don't have the life insurance or the trust set up. Okay. And the reality is I figured out, oh my God, neither did I. We had a trust, but you know what? It wasn't funded properly. I didn't even have the house in the trust. I had a trust. And you know what? If I had passed away, I would have left my wife with a mess. My kids, the whole, I would have been a really bad situation. She would have got through, but it's not the type of mess you want to leave to somebody you love.
No. And were you doing professionally what you do now?
Not the same way. You know, I was doing a couple things. I was helping people out with health insurance and a little bit of life insurance. But the thing that I learned from chemo is that so many people live their life and they're working, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and they come home, they focus on the family. They don't focus on their finances or what they really need to do.
Right.
And as a result, there's a lot of money that's just falling through the cracks, and they don't realize it. And if something were to happen, long-term care, stroke, whatever, they're not prepared for it, not because they didn't know they weren't prepared for it. It's just because they just don't know the questions they need to ask or how to prepare themselves for
it.
So one of the things that I started focusing on is, where could money fall through the cracks? So I found attorneys that could help me, financial CPAs that don't just record your tax return, but understand, hey, what happens in the future?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm working with a couple right now. Their husband's been diagnosed. Well, actually, it's my brother. He's been diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma mastic cancer, which is actually genetic. And there's actually no cure. So it's 6 months to a year.
Wow.
Really tough situation. So I have to sit down with them and say, hey, look, if you make it, here's what your situation looks like. If you go on disability and can't work the hours that you're working, this is what your financial situation looks like. So what do we need to do to put you in a position? Best case scenario is you're on disability a little bit. Worst case scenario is you'll walk out on life. And what happens then, and help them create that plan. So if
that's got to be grueling.
You know, here's, well, it's a tough thing, but you know, we found out a few things already. You know, they got married, 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago? They both had life insurance, but one of the life insurance went to his wife's brother. The other life insurance went to my sister.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have kids then, so they didn't update anything.
Oh, dear.
And you know what? They don't even have the house in the name of the trust. And in Indiana, guess what? A third of that house goes to the spouse, 2/3 goes to the kids.
Oh,
is that a mess or not? And the state of Indiana, since they're under 18, if he had passed away, well, they now have a co-owner, which is the kids in the state of Indiana who get to say whether she can refinance or not.
Oh, no.
So it's just a mess, and you want to help people avoid that. So my whole passion and focus has been to help people identify, where things could be falling through the cracks in their financial plans,
mm-hmm.
make sure they have an ensemble of people helping them. So if it's an attorney, a CPA, and myself, we're all talking about your stuff and coordinating it, you don't have any money falling through the cracks.
Right.
And you're prepared in case somebody has a stroke, a heart attack, passes away, loses a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing what to do when these things happen make it a lot easier, because the reality is when somebody has one of those things, you know, his wife is just, you know, I mean, anxiety is really, really high.
Oh,
she, you know what, she goes, well, I know what to do. I have it in my head. Well, you know what, when things get even crazier, you don't have it in your head.
No, you don't.
I've dealt with way too many people with this. You don't have it in your head. But if you have it written down, you can shake your hand and go, I do that.
Yep.
I do that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to be okay. And that's what you want to know.
I tell grieving people all the time, and really, even though your brother is still alive, they're grieving. They're grieving the diagnosis. They're grieving the loss of the life that they knew, the dreams they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you're grieving, your head is somewhere else. So you're so right. You cannot focus. You don't think clearly. You know, there's just an overload of stress that's undermining, you know, being able to think clearly. So I love that you are helping them have a plan, and you're putting the people in place with the expertise to know what to do, because none of us has all that expertise, you know, and we don't know so much what to do. So that's one of the things I love about the Sexton Advisory Group, Steve, that, I mean, you have done this. So this was actually something that evolved out of your own experience, right? Realizing if you'd have had that team advising you, your wife wouldn't have been in a terrible situation if you had passed away.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I just, one of the biggest things is you want to set things up for the, you know, if you're going to walk out on life, just make sure everything's in place so that the ones you love receive the things they need with the least amount of disruption.
Yeah.
So that way they can get focused on healing themselves and moving forward.
Yeah. And that is so important, because it's hard enough to deal with the loss, you know, and the grief that comes with it. But if then all this other stuff starts falling on you, it's got to be really difficult. And for some people, that stress and that fear that would come up around that would be almost debilitating, right? I mean, how do you go forward?
Most people shut down. I was just about to say, most people shut down unless they know exactly, or they have something written down.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know what, it's the stress that you don't want to deal with. It's the same reason why you go into work every day and focus on the email as opposed to the task you're supposed to do, because it's less stressful.
Oh, I think you were sitting in my table the other day.
Everybody
I know
does.
That experience.
That's human nature. Everybody
we
does
all
that.
That's right. It's true, really. And I think, too, when you're grieving, you feel overwhelmed anyway. So anything that's adding to that just puts you over the top. And then maybe you just say, can't do any of it. Can't do it at all. But you are doing something special for your brother to try and help them in their situation, Steve. And I would love you to share that with our listeners.
Well, as I said, my brother's been diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma massive cancer. There is no cure. It's about what they can do with different medications. We're obviously looking for a trial. But, you know, my brother has been in a situation where he loves what he do, but he doesn't make a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically live paycheck to paycheck for the last 5 or 6 years. So when this came up, got a lot of medical bills.
That,
you know, they're finding out it's genetic, so they have to get their kids tested. They don't have the money for that. They only have the money to do dental. They want to stay in the house. They've got life insurance. The cost just doubled. So what we've done is we set up a GoFundMe page.
Uh-huh.
And if you'd like to donate, it's just go to GoFundMe. It's Ed's medical and family expenses. We're hoping to raise up almost $50,000. Every little bit will help. And you know what? My understanding is you're going to put it on the webpage at Transition Radio. You know what? If you go there and you don't want to donate, just, hey, maybe you can pass it along to your Facebook or email network to get some exposure to possibly somebody else that touches their heart and they say, hey, I'd like to help out.
That would be so great. Would you give them the page? So you go to GoFundMe.com? Is that correct?
You just go to GoFundMe.com, and you're just sourcing Ed's medical and family expenses, and you'll see a picture of him.
Okay.
He's with his kids in their Boy Scout uniforms.
Oh, I love that. I love that. All right. I hope that lots of people hearing this show, Steve, will go right to that page.
I appreciate it, and I'm grateful for what anybody and everybody can do to help my brother.
Thank you, and we're grateful for you. Thank you for being with us again on Transition Radio.
You're welcome.
And to our listeners and our Facebook live stream people, we would just like to say thank you for joining us once again. And you can hear this show not only on AM 1170, The Answer, on Monday evenings at 7 p.m., but the podcast will be available on 15 major podcast platforms, including iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio. We're just all over the place now. So please find us, join us. We look forward to being with you again next week. Good evening.